DOT's 3-hour rule appears to be working. FedEx pilots hope for faster contract talks. And L3 Communications has acquired ATI. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, August 12, 2010. It looks like the U.S. Department of Transportation's limited implementation of an airline passenger's Bill of Rights is proving the airlines wrong and consumer advocates right. The nation's largest airlines reported only 3 flights in June, with tarmac delays of more than 3 hours, compared to 268 flights in June of last year, and with no increase in the rate of canceled flights. The figures come from the Air Travel Consumer Report released Tuesday by DOT. Moreover, the 3 flights that did break the 3-hour mark did so by less than 5 minutes each. All were United Airlines flights out of Chicago O'Hare on June 18th and were delayed by severe thunderstorms. The rate of flights canceled in June was constant year-to-year at 1.5%. The pilots of FedEx Express, represented by the Airline Pilots Association, began negotiations with management Tuesday for their 3rd collectively bargained contract. ALPA says the pilots are prepared for focused bargaining on a limited number of significant issues. Captain Scott Stratton, chairman of the ALPA unit at FedEx, explains, quote, "Our leadership team believes that our last contract negotiation took far too long to conclude. We fully expect that with the cooperation of FedEx Express management and the resolve of our pilot group, we will reach a deal that will be beneficial to us and the company. The bargaining of contracts over years instead of months is a broken model which is beneficial to neither side," unquote. ALPA is the world's largest pilot union and represents more than 4,500 pilots at FedEx Express. L3 Communications has acquired Airborne Technologies Incorporated. ATI is headquartered in Ashburn, Virginia, and provides highly specialized aeronautical engineering expertise, manufacturing, and operations support for unmanned aircraft systems. ATI's products are applicable to the intelligence, defense, and commercial aerospace communities. Projected sales for calendar year 2010 are about $20 million. The terms of the transaction were not disclosed. L3 CEO Michael Strianese noted, quote, "ATI is a leading innovator and platform provider in the small, expendable UAS area, and we look forward to expanding L3's presence in this emerging high-growth market," unquote. Up next on ANN, more victims of Monday's crash in Alaska are identified. NASA's Charles Bolden lauds Senator Stevens for his support. And Marion Blakey remembers his early support for ADS-B. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
The Waco YMF-5D is an open cockpit sport biplane that embodies the golden age of aviation in a new production aircraft. The evolution of the new D model Waco incorporates many new features and upgrades, delivering greater performance than ever before, but with more horsepower and lower aircraft weight. Your new Waco is completely customized to your exact specifications, including your choice of avionics. Own and live the dream yourself with the new Waco YMF-5D. Check out the dream at www.wacoclassic.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 12th. I'm Paul Plack. Information is gradually coming forth in the Monday night crash of a de Havilland Super Otter turboprop near Dillingham, Alaska. The plane is owned by telecommunications provider GCI, and company senior VP of Legal, Regulatory, and Governmental Affairs Dana Tyndall and her 16-year-old daughter Corey are now confirmed lost. CEO Ron Duncan commented, quote, "Our hearts are with Dana's family. Dana and her daughter Corey were a big part of our GCI family, and we are devastated by the news of their passing," unquote. Tributes from the aerospace community are coming in for former Alaska Senator Ted Stevens, also lost in that crash. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden offered, quote, "As a longtime supporter of NASA, Senator Stevens made lasting contributions to our agency and our country. We at NASA mourn his loss and send our deepest condolences to his family, as well as the families and friends of all who perished in the accident," unquote. National Air Transportation Association President James Coyne reflected, quote, "Our country lost a great American today. Chairman Stevens was a remarkable member of the U.S. Senate as well as a steadfast supporter of the general aviation community, especially in the state of Alaska, unquote. National Business Aviation Association President Ed Bolin recalled, quote, NBAA is deeply saddened by this loss. As chairman of the Senate's Appropriations and Commerce Committees, Senator Stevens was tireless in promoting aviation in Alaska and throughout the United States. He understood and made sure others understood the critical role aviation plays in our nation's economy and transportation system. He fought constantly to keep the United States the world leader in all aspects of aviation, including general aviation, unquote. And Aircraft Industries Association President Marion Blakey added, quote, the senator passed while engaged with several of his dearest friends in two of his greatest passions, flying and fishing. Stevens championed the FAA's Capstone Project, the first program in the United States to demonstrate the early benefits of automatic dependent surveillance broadcast, the core technology for the next generation air transportation system, which reduced the accident rate among participants by more than 40%. A great American and true patriot, whether wearing his famous Hulk tie on the floor of the Senate or fishing in Alaska with his grandchildren, he will be sorely missed, unquote. Still ahead, Virginia recognizes its most prolific young Eagle volunteers. One of the most accomplished women in aviation will speak in Cleveland. And an Amelia Earhart relic turns out to be something very ordinary. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business. Leading the way to a new generation of aircraft, Eclipse Aerospace introduces the Total Eclipse Twin Engine Jet. The Total Eclipse is a sophisticated, high-performance aircraft with low operating costs, low environmental impact, and uncompromised safety. Every Total Eclipse jet comes with flights to 41,000 feet, max cruise speeds of 370 knots, an onboard color radar with electronic moving maps and e-charts. And of course, every Total Eclipse comes complete with a factory warranty. Log on to eclipseaerospace.net for more information.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, August 12th. I'm Paul Platt. The Virginia Department of Aviation recently recognized Rick Raham of Great Falls, Richard Largent of Stevens City, and William Bryant of Woodlawn with Top Eagle Awards for their participation in EAA's Young Eagles program. Over the past year, in the Commonwealth of Virginia alone, 1,704 young people were introduced to aviation through the program. Raham topped the list with 243 young eagles flown. Largent came in second with 150, and Bryant came in third with 70. The Young Eagles program has counted more than 1.5 million flights in more than 90 countries by more than 41,000 volunteer pilots. Here's an inspirational opportunity. The International Women's Air and Space Museum in Cleveland, Ohio, will be hosting a free lecture by Rear Admiral Wendy B. Carpenter on Thursday, September 2nd at 7 p.m. Carpenter is a naval aviator and commander of the Navy Warfare Development Command in Norfolk, Virginia. She'll be in Cleveland as part of Navy Week. The lecture and parking are free, but reservations are required. And finally, there are no details on Rear Admiral Carpenter's upcoming talk yet on the museum's website, so watch for details in the next few days. But the museum's website does have a press release on this story I hadn't heard before. One of the artifacts of Amelia Earhart's life, which has been in the collection of the International Women's Air and Space Museum for more than 20 years, was a lock of hair, described as an unruly curl that the famed aviatrix clipped from her coif and tossed on top of a dresser at the White House during a visit there just before her ill-fated 1937 around-the-world flight attempt. The story goes that a White House maid preserved the lock of hair, passed it down to her daughter, and it eventually wound up in the Smithsonian before being forwarded to the International Women's Air and Space Museum. It was in storage for 20 years, until last year, the museum finally displayed the lock, which caught the attention of Rick Gillespie of the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery. He asked for a bit of it to be used for DNA testing, which would allow the verification of other Amelia Earhart artifacts. The museum agreed. Sadly, the DNA analysis showed that the hair was actually thread. And after three quarters of a century, the onion that is the Amelia Earhart mystery continues adding layers. That's the latest from Arrow News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Ernie Boyette of Rotor Flight Dynamics about his adaptation of a Yamaha four-stroke snowmobile engine to a Dominator tandem gyroplane. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.